The word of God says love of money is what? Root of all evil. Let's go to the 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting from verse 6.
But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith.
When we read these three verses, when we have food, when we have clothes, when we have shelter, and that's more than enough, and we don't need anything else. This is what the meaning people will get it from this. But what the Word of God is trying to teach us, important thing is, we are living in this world, we are not living for us. We are living for God. Everything what you have is not yours, it belongs to God. So what does that mean? We are living in this world, we should be thankful to God that God has supplied all our needs. When God is your provider, you will not have any lacking. In this scripture, it doesn't say you should barely survive. You should be barely have something. He says you should be content, means you should be satisfied what God has done in your life. Let's go a little bit further.
But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition.
Somebody wants to get rich without God. You remember the rich man came to Jesus Christ, and he said, what should I do to go to heaven? What Jesus said, whatever you have, sell it. Give it to the poor, and then follow me. And what happened? He was so rich, and Jesus Christ is telling me, be poor. Jesus Christ was not saying like that. What did he say? He did not say, whatever you have, give it to the poor. What did he say? Sell. Sell what you have. When you sell, what do? You make profit.
That's right.
If you don't need a profit, and you want to be poor, then just give it to the poor. And then you will not have anything.
That's right. But
he says, sell.
That's right.
And then give it to poor. What he's trying to say, you 10% is belong to God and give it to the poor and needy also. Means, in giving there are three things. One is tithe. Second thing is sacrificial offerings. And third thing is alms. Means giving to the poor and needy. But some people think, oh, giving to poor and needy, that's good. I'm going to give poor and needy my tithe. Tithe is belong to God. You cannot take the tithe money and giving to your relatives or giving to your friend or giving to poor people and thinking, I am giving tithe to the people. I'm doing what God told me. I am not eating the tithe. Oh no, you're not going to get blessed. Your tithe is belong to the storehouse, and storehouse is the church where you get your spiritual blessings.
Amen.
The sacrificial offering, you can give it to the church, you can give it to some other ministers, or you can give it to anyone you want. And the alms, not giving to the beggars on the street, giving to the household of faith, means believers. That's what the Word of God is saying. So now, from when you read this, somebody says, God tells us, don't be rich. If you be rich, you'll be tempted, you'll be get into sin, and finally you'll go to hell. So somebody says, that's why the devil tried to give the teaching to the Christians, you should not be having more money, this is worldly, money is bad, riches is bad, so you'll be poor. And why the devil is trying to tell this, if you are poor, you will not give to the ministry, and the work of God will not go on, the church will die down. That's what the devil's idea is. God doesn't want us to be poor. Why? Because the poverty is a curse. This word is trying to tell you that love of money is bad. Let's go further.
For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows.
Now here is the key. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Amen. Now the money is good.
Oh yes.
But if you are a believer, you will use the money for good purpose. If you are evil, you are going to use the money for evil purposes. More the money evil person has, more the evil things he will do. Somebody has the money, go to casino, go to bar, go to prostitute, spend the money in luxury. That's the way they spend money. And that money will make you more evil, and then you are going to die in sin. That's what he's trying to say. But the righteous man will have money. What the righteous person will do? First thing, he will give his tithe first. That's what we are learning. First portion is belong to God. You give it to the Lord. Then you give the sacrificial offering to God. Then you're going to give money to poor and needy, your brothers and your sisters in Christ. That's what you'll do. So if you have money, you're not going to be evil, but the evil people use money for evil things. But there is a temptation when you have money. So that's why you have to be careful when God gives you money,
true,
you use money wisely. So the Word of God is saying we have to have wisdom of God to use the money wisely.
But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness.
Go after righteousness and faith and love. And when you go after God, and when you have faith in God, and you have patience of God, and you have meekness of God, and you're following after the righteousness, you are not going to commit sin. That's the point. But if you get the money and forget the righteousness, forget the goodness, forget the faith, forget the love, forget the meekness and patience, then you are going to trap in sinful activities. That's what he's trying to say. Don't go after money, go after God. You remember last week we learned Matthew chapter 6 verse 33. He says, seek ye first, what? The kingdom of God and His righteousness. He says righteousness. His righteousness. Then what? Then he said, all the other things the world is looking after, those things will be added unto you. You go after me, and I will give you what the world is looking for. The world is looking for riches. World is looking for financial gain and all of these things. And they want beautiful car and house and this and that. He says they are looking for those things, but they are denying me. They don't have time to look for me. But if you follow me, and if you put me first, then I'll give those things. Does that mean God is going to make us poor? No. But the key is you follow me. You follow after me, and then I will give all the things you need. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9. Please read.
For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that he through his poverty might be rich.
Now when you read this word, some people do not even understand what this word says. Some people translate that Jesus Christ became spiritually poor, so if you follow him, you will be spiritually rich. And they will say, financially, you stay poor. Because money will make you sin. So you don't go after money. Just go after Jesus, and he will make you poor. Financially poor, because Jesus became poor. Why you want to be rich? But who was Jesus? He says, he is the creator of all the universe, all the silver and all the gold and all the mountains and all the valleys belong to him. And now he says he gave up the heavenly throne and he came down for mankind. Did he become financially rich? No, he became financially poor because he was the sitting on the throne and running the whole world. Now he came down. Now, what was the reason to coming down? To make us poor? No.
No way.
He was saying, I came from heaven, where the streets are gold, where all the buildings are made by the diamonds and all the jewelry. So I'm going to give it to you, my kingdom, if you follow me.
Amen.
That's why he came. That's why this word is saying, he became poor, so through his poverty, you might be rich.
That's right.
That means he came here to make you rich. In faith, in spiritually, and financially. Jesus Christ wants you to be rich in every way. Because he says, through his poverty, you can be rich. Why he came here? Seeking you to take you where he is. Right? So we are going to go to heaven. That's what the word of God is trying to say. Now, if this scripture is not telling you to be rich, then let's read another verse. Similar. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8.
And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work.
Now, how much you need? He says, always having all sufficiency. Is that poverty? If you have everything, all sufficiency means you have everything more than enough. You cannot say, because I'm a Christian, I barely survive. You have everything. Whatever you do, it will multiply. Wherever you put your hand will be multiplied. Yes, sir. Whatever you want to do, it will be blessed. The key is you should be in the Lord. I gave you the scripture last time, but we can read it again. Read the Psalm 1, verses 1 to 3. And just pay attention why this man is so successful.
Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful.
This is the man is blessed. He is not walking around looking for some trouble or going with the sinful people, having the party with somebody and going to sinful people's house and not even telling about God and having fun with them. Or if he has a problem, instead of going to pastor to ask, or some Christian believers going to some unsaved lawyers or unsaved doctors or unsaved person to get the counsel. So what I'm trying to say, do not take counsel from ungodly people. Because somebody says, oh, he's a very knowledgeable in this field. My God is much more knowledgeable in every field, right? You go to God. Ask God, Lord, I have this problem. I want your help. And he is, the word of God says, he is there always a time of your need. When you ask, he will give it to you. So here the word of God is saying, if the man is not taking any ungodly people's counseling, standing or sitting or having any conversation or any kind of activity with sinners, that man is blessed. Okay, let's go to second verse.
But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night.
You will be studying the Bible, reading the word, and meditating on the word of God. If I just simply ask you a question, how many people read the Bible last night or yesterday? I don't want to embarrass anybody, but many people do not have time to read the Bible and study the word. Some churches you go, their church might be 5,000 church members, but the prayer meeting will have 50 or 60 people. Where are those people? Why? Because they are not hungry and thirsty for the word of God. If you are a believer, the sign is this. You will be hungry and thirsty for the word of God. You know what the word of God is saying in Matthew chapter 5, where he says, blessed is the man who is what? Who is hungry and thirsty for the righteousness sake. That's the man is blessed. And what happened? He said that man will be satisfied or will be fulfilled. In the worldly way, you can go after money or go after something that will be keep on running away from you. Or even though you get it, you are not satisfied. But if you have Christ, and his righteousness, and you are hungry and thirsty for him, he said, he will satisfy you. So if that person, whoever is a born-again believer, he has to go to the Bible classes, or he has to read the Bible, he has to study the word. If he doesn't understand, call the pastor. Pastor, I was reading this book and I didn't understand this scripture. Could you explain to me? That's what the sign of the believer is. There are some people call what? Spiritual gluttony. What does that mean? Spiritual gluttony. You go to convention. Yeah. You have radio 24 hours. Yeah. You have television Christian all the 24 hours. Everything about spiritual. But you have no courage to go and tell somebody Amen. About Jesus. But you cannot use what you learn. So somebody was saying, what you learn, you give it away. Otherwise, don't learn more. So here the word of God is saying, the man is blessed because he has the presence of God in his life and he is thinking about God all the time. What? Day and night. That's why verse 3 is.
Yeah, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
Whatsoever that person does, he will prosper. That is the key. If the prosperity comes to the man of God or the woman of God, when you are giving your whole heart to God and living for God, and the word of God says when you do this, whatever you do, it will prosper. So he says that man who is righteous, he's just like a planted by the rivers of water. He says his leaves will be always green. Do you know what the leaves signs? Leaves is the witness. You remember that dove brought the leaf to the Noah and he got the message? So the leaf is a message in your life. That means your life is the witness to other people. And he says, that person will bring forth fruit in what? In his season. Means every time when somebody sees you, you are a fruitful person. You are always blessed. And he says, whatever you do, he'll prosper. God doesn't want you to be what? Poor. But he wants to be prosperous in everything, financially, spiritually, and everywhere. 2 Corinthians 9:8.
And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work.
See what he's trying to say. When you are righteous and a godly man, God is able to what? To make all grace abound towards you. If God's grace is with you, then what? That's what God says. My grace is sufficient. Whatever you need, if God is in your side and the grace of God is abound in your side, you have no problem. We don't need the curse of God. What do you need? Grace of God. And grace of God is not little grace, but the grace is abounding if you are a believer. And when you have lots of grace coming towards you, and then you say you will have always having everything what you need, sufficient. That's what our God is. You know what El Shaddai means? All sufficient God. So our God is El Shaddai. Our God is always there to supply your needs. So we are God's children. If you think your father is God and then you live like a poor beggar, is that good? No. If somebody's father is a police officer, he says, my dad walks like this. So he will walk like dad. If somebody's father is a governor, my father is a governor. And somebody's father is a king or president, how they are telling in the school and wherever they go. Do you know why my father is? My father is a president. What I'm trying to say? Why we are so depressed when my father is God? You have to remember when you have a problem, you have to remind yourself sometime, hey, your Father is God. He is all sufficient. He can supply your needs. Why don't you go to God? Do you know what that song Priscilla always sings? What a friend we have in Jesus. What that song is all about. When you have problem, why don't you go to Him? To Jesus. Why are you running around here and there? My God is all sufficient God. When you have need, go to God. Don't trust in your wealth. Don't trust in your wisdom. Trust in God. Our God is all sufficient God. He supplies the need. And that's why I said, I can do what? All things through Christ who strengtheneth me. If I am living for God, I could do all things through Christ. My God is all sufficient. He gives me wisdom. He gives me grace. Without Him, I cannot do anything. But with God, all things are what? Possible. Our God is a good God. So now we learn the money is not a bad, but what? The sin is bad. And the love of money is bad. Because the money has what? Wings. You study the people who get in lottery. So I'm a lucky man. I'm going to get the lottery again. No way. All the money will be gone, but you will not get again. So what is the point? People who have God, they are much more richer than the who doesn't have a God and they are millionaires. Some millionaires do not have sleep, cannot eat. Their stomach is bad. You have lots of money, lots of food, but they cannot eat anything. They cannot sleep. They don't have peace. And sometimes they kill themselves. And they die like a fool. So the money is not the answer. What is it? Jesus is the answer. Our radio program name is Jesus is the answer. Yesterday some person called me from Ghana, Africa. And he said, I was listening to your program just now. So I said, why did you call me? I just want to hear your voice. He wanted to see if the same man was talking. I want to see if the same man I can hear. I said, sir, what can I do more? He said, I want you to come to my country. And my church and all everybody is excited about you. Our God is a good God. And He supplies all our needs. And there are people who are waiting for us to give them what you have. And our God will do the rest. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 to 13, you read all the blessings. And the blessings, why is coming? He said, you hearken the voice of God, or you listen to the word of God, or you obey the word of God. That's why this blessing is coming. And then verse 14, he said, if you disobey God, then all the curses are coming. The blessing comes obeying God. Curse comes denying God, disobeying God. And so Jesus Christ came here for what? Telling you the way of God, way to reach God. What did he say? I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Without me, you cannot have eternal life. Without me, you cannot go to heaven to my Father. Once you have Jesus, then you have everything. So Jesus supplies all our needs. And Jesus Christ says, you know what? I gave up the heaven. I became poor for you. And I died on the cross of Calvary for you. Why? Many people do not know why Jesus died. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary to redeem you from the curse. The curse of poverty. The curse of sickness and disease. The curse of death penalty. He redeemed you on the cross. Amen. That's why Galatians chapter 3 verse 13 it says, Jesus Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. So we are not under the curse. If you want to be poor, that means you want to be cursed. Poverty is a curse. We do not want to be poor. We want to say, Lord, I am the king's kid. My father is a king. My father is a God. And he has everything. And he said, I will have everything. He said, he does everything and we can do everything. We can do all things through Christ, right? So our focus is on Christ. So we cannot go wrong. He will supply all our needs. Go to the Philippians chapter 4. Okay, Philippians chapter 4. Start from verse 13 or something.
I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me.
Okay.
Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only.
Okay, now what St. Paul is trying to tell, my God is all-sufficient God. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Then why am I asking your help financially? Some people say, hey, your God is all-sufficient. Why you need tithes? Why you need offerings? But he said, you know why? I want you to be blessed. That's why I'm asking help. Sometimes people do not tell about somebody about tithes and offering because they get offended. They are robbing them. They are making them poor. We're supposed to say, sir, you got saved. When did you get saved? I got saved in 1950. Okay. Say 1950 until today. Did you give any tithes and offerings? No. You robbed God. That's why you are poor. That's why you have a problem. That's why your sickness and disease and all of these things, even though you say, I'm a believer. God wanted you to be prosper. I want people to be blessed.
Amen.
That's what I'm telling. And so St. Paul is saying the same thing. He says, my God is all sufficient. I can do all things through Christ. I don't need anything. But I'm telling you if you need a blessing. Okay, read a little bit further.
For even in Thessalonica, he said once and again unto my necessity.
Philippian church and Macedonian church, they helped him a lot. He says, you all send me help everywhere I went. Financially, you helped me. So what's going to happen to them?
Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account.
Paul is trying to say, Philippian church and Macedonian church and other church, you know what? You gave me money. I didn't ask for you. And when I went to Macedonia, you gave me money. I went to Corinth, you gave me money. So he wants more, 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 more. That's what he's saying. He says, sir, I don't need any more. My God is all-sufficient God. Why am I asking you, he says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire a fruit that may abound to your account. Mm-hmm. So he said, when you give it to the Lord, you will get fruit. You will get blessed. You will get financial blessing. That's why I'm asking you. That's why I'm telling you, when you give it to the Lord, you will have everything what you need. Okay, verse 18.
But I have all in abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God.
But I have everything. But when you gave it to me, that is in your account, God is going to bless you. Not only that, he says, this is what? A sweet smell, sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. So what he's trying to say, when you give your tithes and offerings, just like in the olden days, they sacrifice the bull, the goat, and the sweet aroma comes. And God says, I'm well-pleased. You remember that when Noah sacrificed the animal and the smell came, and God said, oh, anymore, I'm not going to send the flood. So God was pleased with the sacrifice. So our sacrifice, we cannot go and get the goat or cow or this. What is our sacrifice? Tithes and offerings. Aroma. Good smell. Good thing you're doing. That's what he's saying. So our sacrifice is what? Acceptable and well-pleasing in the sight of God. You remember Cain brought the offering? And God says, I'm not going to take his offering. Abel bought, God said, well doing. Your offering should be acceptable to God. Don't bring sick and afflicted animal for sacrifice. So now, the same way, you cannot offer to God which is not right offering. If you give, it's not acceptable. If somebody says, I gave it to God, why is not acceptable? Your heart is not belong to God. Your heart is saying, why should I give more? Why should I give it to God? God should give to me more. I should not be giving to God. That's why he says, when you give it to God, that offering is sweet smell and sacrifice is acceptable, well-pleasing in the sight of God. Okay, let's read verse 19.
But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus.
Okay, how many times you quoted this word to somebody or to yourself? He said, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. How God supplies your need? By his riches. Didn't we say God is rich God? So the rich God will supply your need richly. But the secret is this. You have to give your offering acceptable to God. And when God is well pleased in your giving, then he will supply your needs. That's the key. God is not going to supply all your needs when you're robbing him, cheating him, and not giving what is belong to God. Do you think he's going to supply all your needs? In Malachi he said, you robbed me. That's why you cursed. So here in short he says, my God will supply all your needs. Not one, two, what? All your needs. What your needs are, sometimes you write it down on the piece of paper. If I am not listening to God, God is not going to listen to me. That's what he's saying. He says in Deuteronomy chapter 28, if you listen to me, if you obey me, then I will bless you. If I don't listen to God, why should he bless me? So simple as that. We have to listen to God. Our God is all-sufficient God. He wants to supply your needs, but you see God's need. We are reaching whole America. We are reaching whole Europe. We are reaching whole Asia. We are reaching all around the world, not only one time, three times. One time with the satellite, one time with the short waves, and one time with the internet. We are lapping three times around the world. Without money, we cannot do it. When you giving to God, God will come to rescue you. Time is almost gone. Shall we pray? Just rise. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. We learn our God is a good God. He supplies all our needs. But your word says, if the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We will not have any lacking, but we will have everything sufficient. We thank you, Lord, what you have done and what you're going to do. We commit ourselves into a loving hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.